Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. I'm Marlon Sharp, National Field Director for STAND, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Pastor Marlon, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. Wow, the lines are really filling up. We always wonder and sort of measure the interest, not based upon so much the personality, but the topic. And what this is telling me is that this is an issue that people are profoundly concerned about, how this climate hysteria is being used really to exercise control over the American people while China just runs amok. So we're going to hear from our guest who is going to talk to us about this issue, and I'm really looking forward to this discussion. Thank all of you for joining us, as always, taking time out of your busy schedules to be a part of this call. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we are so very grateful to be Americans and so grateful for the freedom that we enjoy, freedom that allows us to do what we're doing right now. And Lord, while we face many, many problems, we are not giving up. We have a president right now who is over in Ukraine, and I was listening to his speech. He seems more enthusiastic about Ukraine than he does about America. Protecting their sovereignty seems to be his top priority. Protecting ours doesn't seem to be of any interest to him whatsoever. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us leaders who actually love our country, love our people, respect and honor our Constitution and our way of life. Lord, indeed, leaders who love God. Because you said righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. We've done a lot of mourning in our country, O God, but we're looking forward to some rejoicing. And we still have hope that the God who gave us this country, the God who established our founding fathers at a critical moment in history, to bring together what would become the greatest nation in the history of mankind, has not forgotten us almost a quarter of a millennial later. And Lord, we really believe that the same providence that allowed this nation to be birthed and to be prospered will secure the future of this nation. And we pray that it would be so. Thank you for our guest speaker today. Thank you for his courage and commitment to truth and to you and to this nation. And we pray that you'll continue to lead God and direct him and raise up, Lord, literally millions of warriors for truth around this nation that will not allow it to descend into the abyss of lies and falsehood. And we thank you and we praise you for victory in this situation, because we really believe that there is no failure in you and that you always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, those of you who are joining us, if this is not the first time or you've been with us regularly, and many of you I know are, then you've heard from Alex Newman before. I won't go through his extensive resume. It's extensive. I will share this quick anecdote. My wife and I have started a school, the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, and he was instrumental in spurring my wife to finally take the step of opening our school. Something we thought about and dreamed about for a long time, we now have it. And Alex, thank you for your inspiration and your dedication and commitment. It's having an impact. So folks, Dr. Alex Newman. Alex, welcome to the program. The floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Bishop. It's always an honor to be here. It was wonderful to see you just recently, and thanks, everybody, for being on the call. So I was asked to speak about the role of the Communist Party of China, the CCP, in the climate hysteria. And before I get into the specifics of that, I'll give you guys some background on how I stumbled upon this. I for many years I've been interviewing some of the best climate scientists in the world. You can find a lot of those videos online. In fact, I've interviewed a lot of the UN's own scientists explaining that this hypothesis that carbon dioxide, the gas we exhale, was a toxic pollution, was actually a very silly hypothesis that wasn't supported by the evidence. And the so-called climate models that make these claims that we're all doomed, actually they can't even accurately model the past, much less the future. So, from a scientific perspective, I knew that this so-called climate change hysteria was really ludicrous. From a totalitarian perspective, it's brilliant, of course, because CO2 is produced by every single human activity, including breathing, including dying, including, you know, turning on a light switch, eating, whatever it is, you're producing CO2. And so if you want to control everything, demonizing CO2 as pollution is the perfect vehicle to do that. But you know, I had followed Communist China throughout my entire career as a journalist. I had been following what they were doing. The first UN climate summit that I went to was in Copenhagen. This was in 2009. It was the COP15, that's the conference of the parties, and it was the 15th annual one. And the Communist Chinese had a booth set up there, and they were bragging about how much less CO2 there was in the atmosphere because of their barbaric and absolutely ruthless so-called one-child policy. And they had done, you know, mathematical formula. They said, well, this many children would have been born if we hadn't been, you know, murdering babies in the womb with forced abortions and things like this. And so you should all be very thankful that we're helping to lead the fight for climate change. And that struck me as very, very odd. They didn't want to talk about it. Fast forward a few years to 2015, and I'm at the UN Climate Summit in Paris. That was the big one, of course, where they came up with the Paris Agreement, and my jaw hit the floor when I figured out what these people were actually negotiating, because Obama had showed up there, and as president, he said, I pledge that I'm going to slash CO2 emissions of the American people by about a third by the year 2030. So massive, massive devastation to the U.S. economy. He had already revealed at that point that under his energy plan, to quote him almost directly, energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. So we kind of knew what he was up to. But he said, yeah, we're going to slash CO2 emissions by, you know, almost a third by the year 2030, et cetera. And then the Communist Chinese came along, and they said, yeah, we're going to continue increasing our CO2 emissions, and we're going to try to peak them around the year 2030. In other words, they're going to keep increasing their emissions of carbon dioxide for, at that time, it would have been for another 15 years. And we were all supposed to bow down in awe at how wonderful the Communist Party of China was when it came to saving the planet from CO2. So I did a little bit of research and found out that this single issue right here, I think, can prove to anybody. You don't have to have a PhD in climate scientists. You don't have to have even followed the science or read any of the UN silly reports on climate change. All you need to know is this: to know that at the very top, the ringleaders of this agenda do not believe this themselves. And so I'll walk you through this real quick here. And I did a recent column on this for the Epoch Times that was published a few weeks ago. If you're a subscriber, unfortunately it's behind a paywall, but you can access this. The headline is CCP Proves Climate Fight Not Really About Climate. And so the CCP basically is building more coal-fired power plants than the rest of the world combined. Right, the U.S. government is deliberately hobbling our energy systems. They're taking down our power plants. They're taking down big parts of our grid. They're making us dependent on unreliable solar panels that are produced in China that, of course, are subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer. They're making us dependent on unreliable windmills that, again, are produced in China, again, with U.S. taxpayer subsidies. And quite ironically, the Communist Chinese are powering the factories that are producing all this garbage for the U.S. economy with coal-fired power plants. I've got some data for you here. The Global Energy Monitor reported in 2021 that the Communist Party of China built three times more coal power capacity than the rest of the world combined in 2020. Already about half of all the world's coal power capacity is in China. And for perspective on the CO2 emissions, China already emits more than two times as much CO2 as the United States does. Some estimates say three times as much as the United States. It emits about double what all of the Western nations combined emit. That includes, you know, all of Europe, Canada, even throw in Japan for good measure. So we're talking massive levels of CO2. Now, to be clear, I don't begrudge the Chinese their CO2 emissions. In fact, when I interviewed Donald Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, a physicist from Princeton University, I'll never forget what he said to me. And you can find this video on YouTube. He and I both spoke at a climate summit a few years ago. He said that the Earth right now is starving for more CO2. He says plants were designed, was his word, which I thought was really cool coming from a, you know, an Earth scientist. He said the plants were designed to live in an atmosphere with four to five times as much CO2 as we currently have. And, of course, that's why farmers pump CO2 into their greenhouses. They know it's very useful for making the plants grow better. So, you know, I think Donald Trump actually hit the nail on the head. People didn't really pay much attention. People kind of laughed it off. But back in 2012, he wrote on Twitter, the concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. And that's exactly what's happened. Right, American electricity prices are going through the roof right now as a direct result of the policies put in place by Barack Obama, by Joe Biden. Right, they're stopping drilling, they're stopping energy exploration, they're stopping refining, they're shutting down our power plants, and all of that, as again Obama put it in a 2008 interview, will cause electricity rates to skyrocket. Meanwhile, in China, they're bringing electricity rates down by putting more and more and more coal-fired power plants online. So, with all that as a backdrop, I think that is the simplest way to show, using no science at all, that the people at the top really don't believe this. If they truly believed that CO2 was pollution, the last thing in the world they would want to do is shut down American manufacturing and shut down American production and ship that all over to China. Why? Because the communist Chinese economy, every unit of GDP produces massively more CO2 into the atmosphere than that same unit of economic production would produce in the United States. So again, if the people at the top, the John Kerrys, the Al Gores, the Antonio Guterres, actually believed that CO2 was pollution, the worst thing that they could possibly do to stop this alleged climate change caused by the CO2 emissions would be to ship our production over to China, and yet that's exactly what they're doing, and they're celebrating while they're doing it. So, folks, we are being scammed. You can prove this very, very easily, again, without using any science at all. Another thing that I did in the past was do some articles where I actually just looked at all the predictions that the climate scientists had made over, you know, going all the way back to the 1970s when they were warning about global cooling. Interestingly, the solution to global cooling was exactly the same as the solution to global warming. Give more money to the UN, give up more of your national sovereignty, give up more of your freedom, let the UN and the federal government control huge parts of our economy, and that would stop global cooling. Of course, it didn't stop global cooling, then it became global warming. And now it is climate change. Actually, they called it climate emergency. And at the most recent one, I actually went to the UN climate summit in Egypt just a couple months ago. They started calling it climate hell. We are headed for climate hell. There is a very real pagan and diabolical element to this. I know we've only got a few minutes left, but I'll share a little bit with you guys of how I came across this. The first time it became very obvious to me that something fishy was going on here, this was in 2012, the UN Climate Summit in Cancun, and the secretary, the executive secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, which is kind of the UN's climate body, her name is Cristiana Figueres. She opened up with a prayer to the Mayan goddess Ixchel, and she introduced Ixchel as the goddess of tapestries and creativity, and so she had everybody bow their heads. We prayed to they prayed to Ixchel, this Mayan goddess, that she would help them weave a wonderful tapestry of climate solutions. So, you know, I whip out my laptop and look up this alleged goddess of creativity. Turns out, according to Wikipedia and several other sources that I found almost instantly, Ixchel was actually the goddess of cannibalism, war, and human sacrifice, which, interesting goddess to open up your climate summit. Later that year, I was actually down in Rio de Janeiro for the UN Conference on Sustainable Development. They lit up the big Christ the Redeemer statue on Mount Corcovado in this nasty UN environmentalist green. And this most recent climate summit that I went to, the one in Egypt, they actually, with help from the UN, orchestrated this big and very bizarre ceremony where they marched to the top of what they say is Mount Sinai, and they did this climate repentance ceremony. They had leaders of all these, you know, world religions. They had different Islamic leaders and Jewish leaders and Christian leaders and Hindus. They actually flew in some pagan spirit worshiper from the Amazon rainforest and said he was the representative of indigenous spiritualities and things. And they repented of their climate sins. They repented of their carbon dioxide emissions, which struck me as very bizarre. And then they unveiled a new Ten Commandments to help us take care of Mother Earth. Very, very bizarre stuff. And so just a little bit of digging. And what you'll find here is that they are actually working on a very religious plane as well. Now, the management guru, Peter Drucker, used to talk very openly about how if you wanted to have major changes in the world, you needed to use the three-legged stool process. So you would have governments, the public sector is one leg of the stool. And, of course, the UN brings together all the governments of the world, and they work on these climate things. Then he said the second leg of the stool was the business sector, and so the World Economic Forum brings together the Fortune 1000, right? All the major companies of the world show up there, and the World Economic Forum signed a strategic partnership with the UN just a few years ago to implement the UN Agenda 2030, which the UN says is the master plan for humanity. A big part of it is the climate stuff. And then the third leg of the stool, he said, was religion, the social sector. And so they are working to bring as many religious leaders as they can onto this bandwagon, if you will. Right when I got off the airplane in Egypt, they had these banners all over the place featuring the pagan sun god of the Egyptians. It says, "Welcome to Egypt, the dawn of conscience." And it quoted this ancient pagan Egyptian document, and it talks about sin, and it quotes as sin, "I have not polluted the earth or the water." I said, those are your sins, CO2 emissions and things like this. And anyway, I could go on and on the religious aspect of it, folks, but suffice it to say that they are trying to usher in a new system of morality, a new system of ethics to go along with this climate agenda. And in the years ahead, you know, they know that most American adults are not on board with this, but they are brainwashing our children like you can't imagine right now, starting in kindergarten, starting even in pre-kindergarten for parents who drop their kids off for pre-K, and they are just being bombarded with nonstop propaganda about how CO2 is destroying and killing Mother Earth, and we need to have less children. We need to pay taxes to the United Nations, et cetera, et cetera. But again, you can prove it's all fraudulent just by looking at communist China, just by looking at what the UN is doing through this climate process. So I would encourage people to get up to speed on this. This is going to be a huge issue in the years ahead. The climate change agenda, it's kind of the backbone of so much of what they're trying to bring in, not just in terms of massive economic changes, but also in terms of religious changes, spiritual changes, business changes. Of course, BlackRock and other companies are helping to voice this on the business sector through ESG. And again, I've written very extensively on this. Everybody can go read my articles if you're interested in more. You can see the interviews I've done with some of the top climate scientists around the world. But you know, do not be afraid of climate change, right? We should fear the Lord and only the Lord. Of course, God controls the climate, and God will determine what happens to the planet, not the UN and their master plan for humanity. I will share this with you. I had an opportunity, I think by divine providence, to interview the organizers of this new Ten Commandments that they unveiled. And I got it on camera. I got 40 minutes exclusive interview with four of the five ringleaders of this. And if you're a Christian, if you believe the Bible, this stuff will sound like nails on a chalkboard to you. And again, you can watch the whole 40-minute video if you want. We put it online. But one of the things that the CEO of the Peace Department said was that what they're doing here is building, he said, the third covenant. Of course, we have the old covenant, the new covenant. Well, these climate people, these UN so-called religious leaders, are building what they claim is going to be the third covenant, and they say they're going to use that to build heaven here on earth. So, you know, as Christians, we are meant to be good stewards of the earth. We are meant to care for this planet. You know, one of the reasons God put us here, he told Adam, was to tend the garden. But, of course, that does not mean that we need to give all power and authority to the United Nations under the guise of fighting the gas of life, the gas we exhale. So I know we're pretty much out of time, so I'll stop there. And if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to follow up on that.
Wow. Thank you, Alex. Wow. I've got a couple questions. Folks, press *6 to get in queue to ask any questions. I mean, he's clearly an expert, been to all these conferences, heard all this stuff. But this is an eye-opener. So my two questions are, one, I've always thought of climate change as a religion. You've kind of highlighted that and made that starkly clear, that this is a kind of spiritual thing that they're engaged in. Talk to us a little bit about the apocalyptic nature of it and using that as a way to scare people, manipulate people, get people to go along with, because after all, the world is going to, there's going to be a cataclysmic climate event that will destroy the entire planet. To what extent are they talking about that, using that to try to get people to go along?
Yeah, thank you, Bishop. And that's a really important point to make. They're actually taking elements from true religion, from biblical religion, and trying to apply them to this climate cult. And so, you know, when you listen to these people talk, and you can listen to their speeches that they gave at the UN, a lot of them sound like, you know, doomsday preachers, like, you know, the guy standing on the corner that, you must repent, you're all going to hell. Except instead of the biblical context, they say your climate sins are your CO2 emissions, right? Have you been eating steak? Have you been flying on airplanes? Do you drive a car rather than ride your bicycle, right? What is your CO2, your carbon footprint? So those are your sins, right? And because of your sins, the gods or Gaia, right, a lot of them deify the earth, right? A lot of them truly believe in this concept of Gaia, Mother Earth, as a living organism that created us and that should be treated as a goddess. And so your way to repent of your climate sins is to, for example, reduce your carbon footprint, right, to pay for carbon credits. So Al Gore can make more hundreds of millions of dollars by literally evicting villages in Africa so they can plant trees, or brutalizing people in Central America so they can plant, you know, some trees there and then sell carbon credits to goofy Westerners who've bought into this cult. And the more you dig, the more you find that this is a very cult-like movement. And you know, to go back to what I was saying about communist China, you can tell that the leaders of the cult don't actually believe in the dogmas that they are sharing with us, but they want us to believe in it, and they're using this to kind of take our freedom, take our money, and restructure everything. And, you know, I'll conclude my answer with this. Right before the UN summit was actually held, this latest one, the COP27, in Egypt, they released this very interesting document, the UN did. It was called Uncertain Times, Unsettled Lives, Shaping Our Future in a Transforming World. And I want to quote from this document just so people can see how clearly now this is coming through. They used to kind of hide it a little bit, but they're out in the open now. They say that evolutionary processes and ethical reasoning may have interacted in reaching the current prevailing configurations of behavior. But today's uncertain times have novel elements that present new challenges, and those configurations may not be a good match. So what they're saying there is that the system of morality that we are all familiar with, the Ten Commandments delivered to Moses by God, they're not just obsolete, right? The UN is arguing that these evolved with us, but not only are they obsolete, they're actually dangerous because they're contributing to this climate emergency. And they go on, again, in the same document to say that uncertainty itself can be a source of knowledge to be mobilized to act differently, something that empowers individuals and societies to adopt fundamental changes in choices that lead to people acting according to new moral codes. Okay, again, this is right out of the UN document, and they are openly advocating a new moral system. They want to throw the Ten Commandments, the biblical system that really underpins Western civilization, in the trash can and replace it with a new moral and religious system that will take into consideration care of Mother Earth. So it's very, very dangerous what we're dealing with here.
Wow. I'm going to hold my second question because the lines are full with other questions. So let's start with these questions. Let's take the first one.
Hello. This is Dennis Black here in Chesapeake. You're and talking about one of the subjects that I am adamantly and have my PhD in. Also, I know also personally a number of the world-class, world-renowned climate scientists. And I just want to comment that I have a one-pager by Dr. Jay Lair, who's one of those, that if I were to share it with this audience, you would have in your possession the one-page graphic that would destroy all of the carbon dioxide nonsense. And that one page shows that the number one greenhouse gas in Earth's atmosphere is clouds in the form of water vapor. That's 95% of all greenhouse gases. And man-made CO2 is 0.12%. So the real climate scientists know that that's insignificant. And also the real climate scientists know that if we had four or five times more CO2 in the environment, the plants would love it. And we would have
We got a lot of other calls, Dennis, but thank you for your comment. Did you want to respond to that, Alex?
Yeah, I think that's important to mention. Thank you for those comments. You know, when we talk about CO2, human emissions of CO2 make up a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1% of the greenhouse gases that are naturally in the atmosphere. The idea that this is what's controlling the temperature or driving climate is positively preposterous, and there are so many scientists, including, incidentally, like I said, many who've worked for the UN, who will point out that this is all a fraud. And so, you know, I do think it's important for us to be familiar, at least with the basic science. So thank you for those comments.
Okay, let's take the next one.
Hello, Bishop. Yes, I'd be wondering about how much study and thought has been given to studying ancient paganism. I think that that would be a rather interesting study. Also, from the standpoint of how this is simply a manipulation of the population, back in the Roman times, leaders didn't really believe that crap either. They just put it out there to, you know, take care of the masses, rule the masses. And so it's like the same thing, and I think that would be a pretty interesting combination study.
You mean to see if this parallels things that ancient or pagan religions used to try to control people? Well, listen, thank you for the call. We got it. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, there are very obvious parallels between the climate cult and the ancient pagan religions of the past. You know, I started off by mentioning the first climate summit that I went to, where the communist Chinese dictatorship was bragging about how many less children had been born to reduce CO2 emissions. And, you know, there were so many ancient pagan cultures that sacrificed children to appease the gods. And, yes, the Communist Party of China is officially atheist, but, you know, I think there's a real parallel. And if you actually examine the new morality that they're trying to bring in, the parallels with paganism are very clear. It is essentially an inversion of the biblical system of morality that God gave us, starting with the very first command, right? The very first command that God gave to mankind was to be fruitful and multiply. And one of the things that is so obvious when you go to these UN conferences, they talk about it from the stage, it's openly acknowledged by everyone. They believe there are way too many people and that we need massive and draconian population control schemes to reduce the number of human beings on this planet. So it's an inversion of the biblical system of morality, and the pagan parallels are very clear. Thank you for the comment.
Uh-huh. Let's take the next one. Go right ahead.
Hello, my name's Sarah Kolstad from Woodland Park, Colorado. I'm just a active citizen and passionate about our Word of God and the Constitution and what you're doing, E.W. Jackson. Thank you for all your work, and as well, Alex Newman. This is my first time on the call, so just...
That's okay, Sarah. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Been with you for over 2 years, though. It's been awesome. I was just going to ask, have you heard about the lawsuit with the cell phone company about conference calls costing money now? And to me, it seems pointed at conservative Christians, believers, and active conservatives. It's just listed for conference calls.
Sarah, listen, we're on climate change right now. You raise an important point, but we're going to stick to the climate change subject matter. Do you have anything on that? Okay. All right. Thank you, Sarah.
As far as the whole morality, new morality coming across, to me, it just seems part of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. You want to respond to that, Alex, or should we go to the next call?
Yeah, thank you, Sarah, very much. There is an effort to silence us. Google has now entered into a partnership with the United Nations to suppress all what they describe as misinformation on climate change. So they're going to make it harder and harder to find true information about these things. There is a deliberate effort to silence us. Unfortunately, a number of Republicans have now crossed over. You know, there used to be a United Republican Front where they said, no, climate change is a hoax, we're not participating. There's now a climate caucus among Republicans. There's only a few in there right now. But what they're saying is, all right, we accept the so-called climate change science. Now we need to come up with conservative solutions to solve it. And so, folks, we as conservatives, we as Christians really need to be on the ball here, because if they get away with getting this hoax injected into the Republican Party as well, they will succeed. And right now, American conservatives are really the ones holding back this tsunami of totalitarian control.
Okay, let's take the next question.
Hi, Dr. Alex. This is Rosemary Shear in Media, Pennsylvania. And my question is, how does this new climate agenda relate to this push for to get rid of plastic and plastic bags in particular?
Good question. And I would say all of this is related, right? All of these attacks on the infrastructure that sustains civilization are all ultimately part of the same plan. And there are actually several people from the Obama and the Biden administrations who have kind of hinted at this before, and I can give you some very specific examples. John Holdren, who was the science czar in the Obama administration, and he's also playing a key role in this administration, actually wrote a book in the 1970s where he talked about where they want to go with this. He actually used the term, we want to deindustrialize the United States and the Western world. So all of these different agendas, the war on plastic, the war on energy, the war on infrastructure, the war on cars, all of it goes back to this same agenda to control the American people and ultimately people around the world and move toward this kind of UN-controlled system, really a technocratic form of government. And the war on plastic and so many of these other issues, you know, now they've got methane, they've got cows, all these different things, they're all tied to the exact same agenda, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, I remember going to the restaurant the first time and having him say, you know, we don't do plastic straws anymore because plastic straws are destroying the environment. So, you know, it's now paper that falls apart as soon as you put it in a drink. So, yeah, it's in everything. Okay, let's take one more call.
Hello, Alex. Thank you so much for blessing us. I saw the short on the Ten Commandments that the guy threw down on the thing. Hideous. I did want to ask Dr. Lair where we can get that one-page document that you have.
I didn't. Do you know where that's available, Alex? Because I don't.
If I'm not mistaken, Jay Lair is associated with the Heartland Institute. I believe he passed away recently, but you know, without knowing for sure, I would say you can almost certainly find that at the Heartland Institute. Wonderful organization. They're based in Illinois. I've spoken there, and they're one of the leading forces opposing the climate cult. In fact, just this weekend, if any of y'all are near Orlando, they're going to be hosting a major summit. Scientists from around the world will be coming there, skeptical scientists, people who call out this stuff. And so heartland.org would be the place to look, I believe.
Excellent. And Jody, I hope you got your book, because if you didn't, it's been signed and it's on the way. Okay. Well, listen, Alex, this has been tremendous. Any closing thoughts? I'll tell you what I was going to ask you at the very beginning is the political ramifications of this for our country and sort of trying to take control of more and more and more of our lives. And you just mentioned something key, which is keeping this out of the conservative Republican movement. What should the average American, because I get asked this a lot, what should they do? How should they be responding to all of this to try to help stop this encroachment?
Well, thank you, Bishop. I would say the first thing is educate yourself on this, and that doesn't mean you necessarily have to get a PhD in climate science, but get yourself familiar with the basic facts. Protect your children from the indoctrination, because if they're in the public school system, they're being bombarded with this stuff. They're being taught that it's your fault, mom and dad, that the climate is hurting. So get yourself educated, protect your children, and then once you're educated, educate people in your community. Go for the opinion molders, the radio hosts, the local elected officials. Call up your congressman, you know, get together a group of four, five, six people, call up your congressman, say you want a meeting, whether they're Republican or Democrat, let them know that you find it unacceptable that they're tearing down our infrastructure, tearing down our economy under the guise of climate change while we're shipping all of our jobs and our manufacturing to China. That's hard to argue with, right? Whether you believe in climate change or not, how does it make sense to tear down our economy and build up communist China's when they're going to put more CO2 into the atmosphere? So this is a really critical issue, folks. I know it seems kind of obscure, you know, it's not quite as sexy as some of the issues that are dominating the news cycle, but this is ultimately extremely important. It is the tool that's going to be used to bring down our economy and build up the power of the UN. So get informed and then get activated.
Amen. Amen. And Alex, what's the best place for people to follow you, to get your articles? Because I want to read some of the stuff that you've been writing about climate change, because I know I'm not that well-versed on the issue. I know what I think about it, know what I believe about it, but I'd love to get more information about it.
Thank you, Bishop. So most of the articles that I've done recently on climate change have appeared either in The New American Magazine, which you can find the online version at thenewamerican.com, or in The Epoch Times. You can find that at theepictimes.com. My personal website, where I put up a lot of stuff, including on these subjects, is Liberty Sentinel. That's Sentinel.org. And those are the best three places, I would say.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Keep up the good work, man. We need you. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, too.
All right. Well, folks, once again, I mean, you just can't. I have to think all of you feel the same way. I get an education being on these calls. And, you get so much information. Sometimes it's like drinking water out of a fire hose, of course, but you can always follow up and learn more. Just want to remind you all, if you're in the Mississippi area, and we do have callers from all over the country, they don't all dial in to make phone calls to make comments, but they're from all over the country. So if you're from Mississippi, I will be in Mississippi at a pro-life dinner on Thursday night. And so if you're in the area, let me just tell you exactly where that is. If you're in the area of if you're in the area of Flowood, Mississippi, which is not far from Jackson, if you're in the area of Flowood, Mississippi, I'll be at the Pro-Life Mississippi dinner at Liberty Baptist Church on Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. So if you're in that area, stop on by, get a ticket, or show up. I don't think they're selling tickets. Just show up and support the effort. Second thing I want to mention to you is that, folks, my book is now available, and we are making it available in, first of all, wherever books are sold, you can get it. Secondly, you can get a 15% discount at my publisher's website, which is faithfultext.com. And you can also, of course, sign up as a Patriot partner for a minimum of $25 a month, and I will send you a signed numbered copy. Some of you on this call, I'm sure, already have signed numbered copies of the book. We will fulfill our word. Go to our website, standamerica.us, sign up as a Patriot partner for at least $25 a month, and I will send you a signed numbered copy of the book. Next thing I want to mention is, please, mark on your calendars May the 16th. May the 16th at 7 p.m. at the Tyson's Corner Marriott, we are holding our Stand Awards dinner. Our honorees will be Michelle Bachman, Alveda King, Alan West, and Andrew Womack. It's going to be a great time. That's May the 16th. The tickets are $150, and you can go to our website once again and find out about sponsorships and the like, because we would really appreciate all the support we can get. This is a major fundraiser annually for us for the year, and it's a major part of our revenue comes from it. And so help us to continue the important work that we are doing. So you all know, one of the projects we've been making central to everything we do these days has been this Forgotten Children Project, of highlighting the hundreds of children that are being murdered in inner cities across this country as a result of the Defund the Police movement. Since that movement, it's been a plague of child murders in these drive-bys, these shootouts, these just blatant, bold, daylight eruptions of violence in these communities because there are no police there to deter them anymore, because just pretty much every police department in America is understaffed. And we've been pointing this out as a way of helping black voters in particular, but inner-city voters, to realize that the Democrat Party is getting their children killed, their families decimated, their educational opportunities suppressed or destroyed, because 87% of black children who manage to graduate from high school are functionally illiterate. They're reading at an eighth grade level or less. I mean, you can't have a worse track record than that. And that is the track record of the Democrats who are in charge of these places. And right now, folks, today is election day, 4th District of Virginia. And this district, I've been told, is about 55% black. Of course, it's been reconfigured and redistricted, redrawn several times, about 55% black. We have a Republican candidate, Leon Benjamin, who really ought to be the next congressman from the 4th Congressional District, and I continue to pray that he will be. But if he doesn't, the likely analysis, the likely scenario afterwards will be that he simply didn't get a significant percentage of the black vote. That's got to stop. That's got to stop, because Democrats are a scourge on this community. They're a scourge on these inner city neighborhoods, and yet they keep getting their votes. And what is it going to take to break that? Well, that's what we're working on. That's what our Forgotten Children Project is about. That's what Stand is focusing on a great deal. That's not our only project, obviously, but that's the one that we are most focused on and active in right now. And so when you join us as a Patriot partner, in whatever way you support, you're helping to break an important stronghold. Look, everybody on this call, I really believe, wants one thing: to save America. We want to save our country. We want to wrest our country from the grip of these Marxists, socialists, atheists, secularists, these godless, pagan people who want to drag our country into the abyss, because we know that there is no future for an America like that. That's just a ticking time bomb waiting to explode. And so I believe this is an important part of saving America, because the Democrat Party relies upon the victimization mentality that it foists and promotes in these black and minority communities to convince them to vote against their own values. Most of these people are pro-life. Most of these people are pro-family. But they vote for a Democrat Party that has gone wholly into paganism and godlessness and anti-Christian and anti-family ideology. They vote for them because they think somehow they are going to provide them with racial justice. They're doing exactly the opposite. They're turning them into vassals. They're turning them into modern-day slaves. They're keeping them locked in poverty, locked in crime and violence in these inner-city communities. They're keeping them locked in educational systems that don't educate their children. And it's a travesty, and we've got to get them set free from it. And in doing so, and getting them to actually vote their values, it could frankly help save this nation and destroy this godless, demonic coalition that the Democrat Party is putting together of homosexuals and transgenders and every other bizarre, weird thing you can imagine, and then trying to lop on minority communities, including even Christians as a part of that, because they convince them that herein with us lies racial justice and social justice. I mean, it's a lie out of the pit of hell. Help us to break that lie. Help us to expose that lie. Help us to get these people set free from this stuff. And in so doing, help us to help our country get free from the grip that these people have on it right now, primarily through positioning themselves as the saviors of the victims of America. What a load of horse manure. So folks, this is what we are trying to do. So put May 16th on your schedule, support our Stand Awards dinner, become a Patriot partner, get a free copy, signed copy of my book, pray for us, help us, support us in whatever way you can, and spread the word. By the way, I do have a podcast. It's on 8:30 a.m. every morning, called E.W. Jackson for America. And, of course, I'll be on the radio at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on American Family Radio coming up here shortly. So just stick with us, folks, and stick with it. In other words, with the fight, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.